constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and the author of more than 20 books, including No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom, an important new book that exposes the undeniable campaign to secularize America by the Obama administration. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Dr. Mark Edmondson is a prize-winning scholar, author, and professor at the University of Virginia. He has a new book called Why Teach? He shares his perspectives on students, parents, fellow professors, and institutions. He calls on professors to be uncool, to grade hard, and to challenge students, even though they may face fallout for it from today's atmosphere of grade inflation and being nice to the students. He encourages parents to allow children to experience the hard knocks of everyday life. He emphasizes the necessary role of failure. Dr. Edmondson says, real reading is a higher form of conscientiousness. He claims good literature allows one to experience the joy of seeing the world through the eyes of people who are more sensitive, more articulate, shrewder, more alive than they themselves are. He says the magic of words unleashes the power of imagination. That is what students taught by the Common Core standards will miss because they have substituted so many informational texts instead of great literature. The author criticizes group projects and classes that rely on the exchange of student ideas. Students don't require the information that produces a worthwhile conversation. He also exhorts educators to stop these readings, which are really deconstructing literary works from the perspectives of gender, race, Marxism, Freudian, and other artificial constructs that venture from the author's intent and show no respect for the book on its own merit. The title of this book is Why Teach? In Defense of a Real Education by Dr. Mark Edmondson.
Would you like a complete record of Barack Obama's hostility toward Christianity? Every insult to our Creator God and every executive order that undermines religion is documented in the new book, No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom, by Phyllis Schlafly and George Neumeyer. Get your copy of No Higher Power where quality books are sold, or visit eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off of your entire order and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped to get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steinblock, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll free 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
In these unpredictable times, you can never be too prepared. Mentally, physically, financially, agriculturally. Real people, real problems, real activism.
Bob Tuscan Show tonight. We're taking your calls at 800-313-9443 and your favorite co-host is going to be rocking it tonight, Steve Starrs. He's got a lot to get into, and I will just sit back and allow him to do so. Tomorrow night I'll be live with Kevin Barrett, so definitely stay tuned for that. And, Steve, what do you say we get to Mike's call? You were asking for him, weren't you?
Yeah, I was wondering where Mike was. I knew he would want to weigh in this. Mike, are you there?
Sure, I'm here, but I'm not sure I caught what all you were saying. I was 25 feet away in the kitchen, and I just turned you guys on. You're talking about the net neutrality problems here. Is that what?
Right. Yeah, I wanted to get you to weigh in on it because I know you're an old RF guy.
You got to kind of rehash part of what you said before you mentioned me because I was, like I said, 20.
Right. Well, there's been trouble. Even Google and some of the high-tech giants are protesting the plans that Tom Wheeler and the FCC have tried to roll out here, and there was going to be a decision coming up in about a week on that, and there's going to be some rethinking of that decision according to this article by Time. Now, you know, we know Time magazine is a mainstream news outlet, but when it hits something this big, there is something going on, obviously, FCC chairman.
What I think is going on is there's been an artificial scarcity that's been created on purpose. Back in the 90s, if you can remember back when Al Gore was talking about the information superhighway and that they were going to build out the information superhighway, and it showed like this tunnel of data going on, this tube of data going all across the country through the deserts and the mountains and all this sort of stuff. They built the backbone with like ridiculous amounts of fiber. I've talked with fiber optic technicians, and a huge percentage of the fiber that's infrastructure that's been put in across this country is dark. So there's artificial bottlenecks that's going on. I've talked to fiber technicians about an individual fiber because I've seen it being installed in these schools, and I'm like, how much does a school need? You know, how much bandwidth does a school need? And because I saw a contractor's laying in a 48 strand bundle of fibers to a silly grade school with like 400 youngsters in it. After having talked with previous fiber optic technicians about the concepts around it, because I don't deal with trivia. I try to think in concepts, and there is no theoretical limit to the number of channels on a single fiber optic strand, because not only do you deal with the colors of light being individual channels, but you also have all the radio frequency channels. So everything that's in the broadcast spectrum, and in the last 14 years, I've got broadcast spectrum charts have changed from the trade magazines that I get at this TV studio that I work at. And I noticed, I put them both on the wall now, and just in the last 15 years, just what's not classified is just expanded. So, the broadcast spectrum has way more channels than it used to. Gets way up into, I can't even remember what gigahertz or whatever they're at now. Mm. But all of that is available in the bandwidth of a fiber optic as they improve the technology of the nodes or the equipment in between the nodes. And I also asked this other fiber optic guy, I said, so how many times can they split a signal that goes through a fiber optic cable? And he goes, well, that really depends on the power of the card. So they can even split the signal and send it off theoretically any number of times they want to split it off to any number of agencies around the world or whatever. So you're basically dealing with a stage debate, I think,
right,
on a artificial scarcity to try to create a market to pay for what they want to do. And what they really, I think, want to do is to limit it so that they can monitor it and
right,
control it. They don't want what originally was supposed to happen, and the
right,
money was given to the telephone companies and telecommunication companies. The money was given to them to get fiber optic to your phone jack. Can you imagine if you had a single fiber optic to your phone jack with unlimited bandwidth, unlimited channels? You see what I'm saying? This whole
yeah,
farce,
yeah,
mm-hmm, is just ridiculous because they had the money and they put it into mobile technology, which I recently saw what happened in the mobile cell phone shacks over the last decade. Racks and racks of equipment that looked like it was something out of Star Trek has been reduced down to one basic black box, and
right,
all of the bandwidth off of their antennas is going straight down into a fiber optic junction box. And there's like 24 fiber optic cables going into these shacks now, and that's the future. It's just going to get straight transferred out of the air into fiber and then goes to the master switchers, you know, in the main facilities, wherever the regional facilities or whatever. There's nothing, they're reducing it down to where there's less and less stuff in an actual cell phone shack. It's all getting transferred into the bandwidth on the fiber. Cause they've got all kinds of extra bandwidth and even what's hanging out there is not being used. This grade school I'm talking about, the maximum capacity, this one guy told me, was probably going to be 2 strands for everything. All the smart boards, all the computers, all the cameras in this grade school of 300 children and all the teachers and whatever else they're snooping in on. 2 out of the 48 strands that they hung was going to be all they used, and they probably had plenty of extra capacity in 2 fiber strands, but they hung 48. So,
So artificial scarcity.
Yeah, I think that's what's
yeah,
going on. They're trying to control mm-hmm, it with artificial scarcity because they don't want the bottom to fall. You know, they've got suckers paying $160, $178 a month for their phone and cable and internet. They don't want that to the bottom to drop out of that and, you know, have to go down to like $30-$40 for anything you want. I mean,
right,
all the entertainment you don't have time to watch. I mean,
sure.
I mean,
or worse yet, they pay us to have it in our house. Or
well,
something
I mean,
like
we're
that,
already
you know?
Paying for
right,
them to snoop on us. They're
yeah,
already paying for them to vacuum up all of our behavior. And the only reason that I have tried to study this so hard is because I was trying to figure out what the heck was going on, whether or not they were trying to intimidate me or if it was just a glitch. Because,
right,
I don't know, you've heard me talk about it before.
I know, strange coincidences that happen.
Finally, a private investigator, after I would not let him try to rationalize away what was happening, he said, look, I think they're trying to intimidate you. And I probably should have, you know, back in the 80s, the military was too darn nitpicky, or I probably would have ended up in signals intelligence in some, you know, compartmentalized job somewhere. But I just didn't, when, you know, they were too darn nitpicky about what, you know, well, the jobs that they would let me do.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm not an engineer. And I heard you say that. And I'm like, a couple of years ago, somebody called me a technician. I said, well, thank you, but, you know, I'm not even really a technician. But, you know, it's just I'm more somebody that studied communications. I started trying to learn computers. in the early 80s, and I got fed up with it. There was no PC platform back then. Everything right. was all glitchy and hackable, and I just couldn't see spending all my time writing computer programs for stuff that could be hacked to pieces.
Yeah, but the point is, very simply, though, that you know how these connections work because of your, you know, your background in television. You know, you and I share something in that aspect, and you've probably said it better than I could because you know the connections. I haven't really paid that much attention. I've gotten away from it.
I've talked to the people. I've caught these guys off, kind of off guard when they're bored, you know, or, you know, doing some mundane stuff, and I've kind of talked to them. I've also talked to contractors that have been involved in installing the infrastructure across the country. And this one guy, I thought I was going to get him to do a kind of man in the shadows thing with disguise in his voice, and he said, nah, my boss died in a violent car crash, and so that source went away real quick. But he was involved in installing stuff all across the country in these interstitial floors where there's so much equipment going back. This goes back, I guess 17, 18 years ago when he was involved in it. They had so much equipment in these secret floors that they kept the air conditioning at 40 degrees to keep the equipment from overheating.
Yeah, it was hot stuff then.
Yeah, and just how much electricity they're using for all this, and they want us to use these dangerous light bulbs. It's ridiculous.
Right on, man.
See, thanks for taking my call, man.
Hey, well, hang in there if you can. I think we got a break coming up here in a minute, but I'd like to get into some more of this. You know, just so that we know a couple things about all this, you know, Wheeler says he supports the idea. This is the FCC chairman, you know. He says he supports the idea of an open Internet and opposes a system which deep-pocketed tech titans can discriminate against startups, but he failed to anticipate the depth of public opinion on this issue, not to mention skepticism by his fellow Democrats and FCC commissioners as well.
Well, I think he doesn't realize that there are people that are paying attention and don't believe a lot of the BS, basically. They,
right on. Be right back.
There's people that know more, way more about it than I do.
Stay with us, Mike.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always.
Lucifer, son of the morning! I'm gonna chase you out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase Satan out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase the devil out of earth. To outer space to find another race. I'm gonna send him to outer space.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Bob Tuscan Show. Steve Starr is hanging in here with you on a Monday night. Glad to be on the show with you out there listening. We're talking about the Internet, open net neutrality, all of this other stuff that's been going on. And if you know the story, Commissioner Tom Wheeler is getting into all kinds of trouble because what he was advocating for a vote, I guess, on Thursday about whether to advance his plan to allow broadband providers to strike special deals with internet companies for preferential treatment, whether that's going to go through. And we were talking a little bit right before the break with Mike, who knows a lot about this, and I like to hear his opinions because he's got some details on the facilitation of all this stuff. They're imposing an artificial scarcity on the bandwidth allocation or the bandwidth availability of all of the fiber that they've got out there, if I understand this correctly. So there's no shortage, friends. There's no shortage. I mean, it's not like, we just don't have the space. You know, it's nothing like that as far as I know. And Mike, can you pick it up a little bit and kind of take it from there? I think he's still with us.
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Good. Yeah, okay. Sure can. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, sure, they're going to have to, if they want to increase available bandwidth or channels, they have to install more equipment or duplicate things. But the view of the ink blots, from my perspective, is that they're creating artificial bottlenecks. And, yes, I think they want to favor some of the big media outlets out there, because the theory is that there's too much noise in the channel, your basic theory of communications. You know, if everybody can get, you know, can go viral at any time, you know, or whatever, it's going to be chaos, and they don't want so much chaos because the audiences are getting too fractionated as it is. You know, there's already, you know, the FM dial is so saturated with radio stations right now in a lot of places that you can't buy into a market and influence a bunch of people. Of course, a lot of people have left FM and AM radio to listen to their iPods and their own, you know, MP3 players or whatever.
Yeah.
And so the audiences are so fractionated now, they don't want that to happen anymore with the internet, I think. So they're trying to intentionally bottleneck it down to where people with enough money can buy favoritism from these intermediaries that handle the traffic between and I can't remember the terms. That's the thing. I try to deal in concepts, but the backbones of the internet that go, you know, between the major servers and traffic points, those could be expanded. They don't want to do it, and
right.
Because it's going to dilute these bottlenecks down to where, of course, it would require more equipment to be able to monitor it all out in places like Bluffdale, Utah, or Minwith in England, and
yeah,
wherever else, you know, these major vacuum cleaners that are sucking up and filtering and analyzing what's going through.
Sure, yeah. It's about money, and it's about control. I mean, they want to have all the money, and they want to have all the control over content, and that's just basically what we've been facing with the mainstream news media for as long as I've been involved with it. And the reason why I'm no longer involved with it, left it in the 80s, and it's very similar here, and it says, from this article, the crisis facing the FCC is not surprising. For nearly a decade, the FCC has been trying to implement rules that would ensure that the Internet remains open for the next generation of tech startups like YouTube, Skype, and Netflix. Open Internet advocacy groups appear to be trying to mobilize a grassroots response like the one they successfully mounted against the 2012 SOPA-PIPA Internet copyright bills. So this is just another round of the same stuff. We knew they were coming back. I mean, remember, if you listen to us back then, we were talking about SOPA and PIPA, and they went down barely for a little while, and we said they're going to come back some other way, and this is just another one of those ways that they were going to do it.
The Trans-Pacific Partnership, is that what you're getting into?
Well, yeah, that's another one of those things that's out there on the horizon that nobody seems to know much about it, but this was the first part of that Of course, net neutrality was a big part of that as well. So it's a step-by-step process. And it's been said by people that I think are pretty good social analysts of our times that if the internet is not controlled, the people who basically have access and run and operate on this system that we have will end up in control. They know that. They don't like our programming. They don't like us talking. They don't like us having a say. I think it's evident to everybody who listens to this broadcasting network, Republic Broadcasting, and all the other alternative news media, which may not be as good as some of the stuff that they do in terms of getting out and getting into the stories, but we don't have as much fluff and manufactured lie-isms that they create either, do we, Mike?
Well, no, I think there's a lot more digging to try to reinforce or prove what you're saying, because the alternative media is under so much attack. You know, if you're actually trying to do credible looks at issues and stories, then you're motivated to try to filter out the fluff and the sensationalism to a certain point to get to the story behind the story. So, it seems like the mainstream media is more about keeping and holding your attention between commercials, and there's a lot less substance. And journalism schools, of course, have also have been taught for decades to play to the broadest possible audience and write at a sixth grade level, which has the effect of dumbing people down and playing to the lowest common denominator. Whatever they can figure that will appeal to the most audience, sports and bedlam and, you know, spread and circuses. And that's what they try to convince everybody that you want. And I don't think that's what a lot of people, really want. They get bored with it and, because everybody else is watching it or listening to it, they use it as a social thing to talk about, you know, these sports figures or celebrities, and it does. It's really ultimately unsatisfying. It's like a candy bar or something. It satisfies for the moment, but then you're left. You know, it ultimately leaves you wanting, and it leaves you
right
sick. Really,
yeah. It's toxic information, is what it is. These are poisonous wells, is what they really are. And they're all over the place.
Eating sugar all the time. There's no substance to it.
Yeah,
and
it's really bad.
And it doesn't really solve any problems. It's just, I started listening to talk radio in the early 90s with Chuck Harder, and because I got bored with all the formula satellite programmed radio at that time. And, you know, that's why the FCC in the 80s created the community television. Because they saw this coming. They saw group stations, formulated radio, distributed programming by satellites, and the local nature of the media just started disappearing. And so, you know, I got bored with that and started listening to talk radio and found out there was a lot of stuff that I needed to research. And I missed out on in school.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it, buddy. All right, be back after the break.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. EscapeHarassment.com.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
Through their ministries of propaganda, each took complete control of the theater, the movies, the radio, every cultural activity and every channel of information.
Well, times is tough, all right.
Yeah, I'll say. It's the future. It's the future we're talking about here, friends. You know, this whole concept of net neutrality and the plans that Tom Wheeler and the FCC had to start breaking this thing down to put it back into the hands of the major corporations who do nothing but poison your mind with bad information, selling you junk, and manipulating the public, essentially, while they suck you for a lot of money, which you shouldn't be paying for. And I'm going to get to Glenn in just a minute, who's called in, and maybe we'll follow up on that topic, but I'll just kind of finish up, at least from this point of view, at this point. You know, I've seen it all pretty much in my lifetime, which has gotten to be a few years now. I mean, I remember the days when there was no cable TV, you know. There was no cable TV. I worked at a very large CBS affiliate as a master control engineer. And, of course, cable was around when I was there, but most people were still watching the major three networks. We had, you know, ABC, CBS, NBC, but then there was PBS and a lot of independents, Tribune Broadcasting, Fox came along. And I remember the days when people started, you know, paying for television. You know, of course, I would always think that if you're going to pay for television, should you not see commercials? I mean, after all, you're paying for this programming. Why are you being shown commercials at the same time? And I knew it. I knew then that commercials would be a big part of cable TV. So now you pay to watch commercials, far too many of them, in my opinion. There are a few networks out there that have a very limited number. And, of course, you can get the premiere and special channels if you want to really dish out the dough. You know, you want to stay at home and watch your widescreen TV rather than go to the movies. I understand that can, you know, that gives you a lot more value. I'm not against a lot of that, of course. And I like technology. I'm glad it's kind of improved over the years. There are downfalls to this, though, of course, as well. And the big problem is bigger isn't always better, and it's not getting more honest and truthful unless we hold up our end and demand that. And I like the fact that there's the open internet, as they call it. Open internet advocates have long considered the new idea of the net neutrality, or the whole new plans to regulate the internet bandwidth that the FCC was looking at coming up with this week, and it looks like it's going down in flames very quickly. But it says the open internet advocates, such as myself, have long considered such an internet of fast lanes to be anathema or cursed to net neutrality principles because they would give deep-pocketed companies an advantage over startups. It's that simple, friends. They're just trying to take it over, and they're trying to charge you more for it. And there's no shortage of bandwidth, as Mike was explaining. Now, let me see here if Glenn wants to weigh in on that or another subject. Glenn, are you there? Let's see what you have to say.
Hello?
Hey, Glenn.
Yeah, hello. Right. What's your guest's name, Bob?
Oh, we were just talking about the net neutrality issues and all that, yeah. But, you know, well, whatever's on your mind.
No, I know. I was just going to say, I didn't know your guest's name. I usually just say hi.
Oh.
Wanted to talk about two things, infrastructure, one, and then two, culture and content.
Okay.
First of all, about bandwidth. I too, you know, remember the pre-cable TV days, and then also, but if you think back even to the 90s, I remember when services like AOL and CompuServe and Prodigy were very popular, and they were having their bandwidth strained by spammy emails and group emails and stuff like that. And they were talking about bandwidth being an issue back then, and that has certainly changed. I'm sitting in the suburbs of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where we're awash in bandwidth. I'm sitting here on the corner where we have Verizon Fios lines and Comcast. By myself, you know, around here it's, are you with Comcast or are you with Verizon? And they're always competing in terms of bandwidth and charging. We want to charge an extra $10 for, you know, super, you know, throughput and all that sort of stuff, you know. So bandwidth isn't so much an issue. But maybe it could get to be because we're seeing more and more streaming video and stuff like that. I myself use a device called a Slingbox, which allows me to connect to my own home cable television on any portable device anywhere I can get an internet connection. So if I go to a Starbucks or something and log on, I can sit there and watch my own Comcast cable television using my Slingbox. You know, that kind of stuff. We see all that. And I was thinking about, you're talking about that outfit that school put in 24 fiber optic lines. They may be trying to err on the side of safety because, you know, this stuff with computers tends to burgeon. You know, there was a day when they thought 640K of RAM was more than anybody could use. And, you know, IBM and Microsoft found out the hard way that, you know, limiting stuff like that, you know, gets to be a problem. So if you're laying down cable, you know, probably figure, yeah, well, put a great big trunk in here in case, the bandwidth needs grow. But, it doesn't sound like that's going to happen for the fiber optic anytime soon. So it's kind of nice to have all the bandwidth now because, you know, being able to stream all the video and stuff is very cool. But that was the infrastructure thing. In culture and content, that matters. You know, I look at, I often wonder what our great social manipulators at the top are thinking. We here in the U.S., we've seen them infiltrate tens of millions of Hispanics into the country. And then it wasn't long before we had TV channels like Telemundo. Now, when I look on my Comcast cable lineup, I now have a whole section, a whole swath on the cable guide of Spanish language stations. And I'm imagining a similar phenomenon is happening in Europe, where they've infiltrated tens of millions of Muslims into Europe. And I wouldn't be surprised if their cable guides have large swaths of Arabic-speaking channels or something like that. And I'm wondering if this is, you know, part of the, you know, the globalist thinking, using, you know, the bringing these, you know, bringing a Muhammad to the mountain, if you will. By bringing all these people into these areas where all this entertainment infrastructure exists, they can, you know, be brainwashed, get everybody watching TV and brainwashing them to the cultural sensibilities they want all these people to have. And then when they have interface back with people in, you know, their home countries, their home regions where they can't do that as much, it's a way of changing entire cultures by subjecting tens of millions of members of those cultures to their desired programming.
Wow, that's a very, very good point, my friend. And let me just give you an insight on my own situation right now, okay? I work with a nonprofit organization or a church here in my area, okay? And just a few months ago, they had a window open for LPFM, low-power FM stations, right? Well, I kind of looked it over. I thought about it. I didn't know what to do. A buddy of mine who also is very big into all of this stuff, has quite a few stations on his own, filled out the application, and we got a construction permit for a low-power FM radio station here, okay? So we're ready to build an LPFM. But the thing is, we're looking at this point right now of going Spanish with it, okay? Because there's a portion, a very large percentage of our population where I live here in Colorado is Hispanic, okay? Most of the people that I know that are Hispanic speak English, you know, very well. As a matter of fact, they're very articulate, they're very clean cut, they're very upstanding people. I mean, they're remarkable folks, you know. But they're, you know, the question that you're raising, which is very good, this is the United States of America. And this is really where English is spoken. And you have to ask that question that you're asking. It's extremely good that I'm asking myself right now. Are we actually helping people by encouraging so much diversity in language? It's just like, for example, you know, in Europe they have a different electrical system, 100 watts at 50 kilocycles. I mean, it's like trying to wire your house or particular rooms. What would it be like if everything was on 110 at 60 cycles in your house, you know, the usual standard AC plug, and then you had to use a specific different plug in a different bathroom or someplace like that? You have to have everything adaptable to all of that. And I question myself, to some extent, how much are we actually helping the culture or the whole city meld? I hate to use that word, but, you know, how much are we actually helping the whole community by diversity, if you like, diversification of languages and ethnics and cultures, because that is a real problem. Most of the people I know who are Hispanic speak English pretty well. We do have a lot of people who do speak Spanish, and they're very familiar. Some of them are very familiar with you know, their, what you might call their native language, even though I think most of these people were born in the United States. They're honest to goodness U.S. American citizens. But, you know, there's a culture there. And I don't know that that's actually in the long run going to help, but I can tell you that there are sociologists who've even pointed out that a long time ago. Remember the old crazy woman, Margaret Mead, who was a very liberal type person. She even pointed out that this is not good in the long run for any society to try to diversify its language, especially when English is... Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, they're not interested in maintaining American culture as we've known it. They're interested in turning everybody into global citizens, regardless of their language.
Yeah, hang on, man. We're going to do a break, and we'll talk about that again when we come back, because that's an important subject. Right here on the Bob Duskin Show. Steve Starr is with you tonight.
The Bob Duskin Show.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit HerbalHealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time. HerbalHealer.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
It's time to utilize your Second Amendment right. No better way than at Knob Creek Gun Range. Check out the large variety with over 3,000 guns in stock. Also, reloading supplies, ammunition, and low admission. Only $10 per person per day. $5 for children 12 and under. And 50% off for active duty and retired military with valid ID. If you don't own any firearms, no problem. You can rent one of ours. Knob Creek Gun Range supplies all your shooting needs. Go to KnobCreekRange.com for more information. Range memberships are available. Visit KnobCreekRange.com today.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from takefromcaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit takefromcaesar.us for more information.
Seems the louder we're singing, the less they're hearing. Babylon got them so mindless they can't see Armageddon is nearing. I try to shake them, to wake them, but they say they'd rather be sleeping. So don't be surprised if my eyes can't disguise that inside me my spirit is weeping.
Coming right back at you, the Bob Tuscan Show. Steve Starr sitting in for Bob tonight on RBN, and glad to have all of you along. We're talking with Glenn. We're going to get back with him. I think he's still holding. But we were talking about when diversity becomes problematic and when actually what's happening are counter cultures that are going to clash down the road or developing, and why they're doing this. And so, you know, there's been a tremendous amount of Spanish programming now available, which everybody seems to think is a great idea. And as I said before, I'm helping develop a station which is primarily Spanish right now. I'm not even going to be able to speak the language, and yet I was the one who applied for the permit. You know, I mean, I'm very glad to help the people that I know because they're such fine people and they really have a lot going on. I mean, these guys really have it together and they're anxious to do what they want to do and I'm helping them with it. But I ask the question too, are we really helping the community that much by expounding on trying to develop so much of this in the long run? Because in reality, you know, down the road, you know, it still has to, it has to match with an English-speaking society, and it seems to me like that's not going to be conducive. And, Glenn, if you're still with us, I'll kind of let you pick it up from where you left off and see what you think.
Well, I'm thinking of a number of different variables involved with this. I've always thought people tend to make a bit too much of a big deal about the... America has predominantly always spoken English, but right now Americans don't even have very good English skills. I'm thinking of the comedian Eddie Izzard, who is this, you know, who's, you know, joked about Britain's complaining about having a second language. It's like I can't think at that speed. And Eddie Izzard said, "Well, the Norwegians speak four languages and smoke marijuana." You know, it's like, you know, language thing itself isn't going to hurt us. You know, if we adapt to it, and Europeans, you know, having all these small countries in close proximity with different languages are much more flexible about language diversity. So I don't think it's not the language component that scares me as much as the values component. The Hispanics, coming up into the U.S., you know, a lot of us are very strong Catholic influence. They're much less inclined toward abortion and that sort of thing. And the family values, are a little different. You know, are actually what we would consider stronger family values at this point. And this is why I say when they bring tens of millions of people up into our culture, subject them to our infrastructure and our programming, you know, they can be brainwashed into the New World Order, you know, view of good global citizens, you know, and have the changed value, have them subjected to the changed values and all the garbage situation comedies and, you know, war on the family and all that kind of stuff. That's the value stuff that concerns me.
It's not good. Yeah. And, I've stated before that, you know, a lot of the Hispanic community and which I'm now interrelated to, you know, being a, kind of a Scotsman myself, you know, but, you know, I have family now, okay, in the Hispanic community that by marriage, you know, and, you know, by not by direct descendancy, but by my second marriage, actually. And, you know, I love these folks. But the thing that I am concerned with is that these are U.S. American citizens, okay? There are people here. They were born here. And their families, and I know their families, have lived here in this country for generations, fought in our wars, served in our armed forces. And I've said this before. I've had a lot of the older people talk to me and said, "I'm not crazy about what's happening with all this immigration." Because, you know, we don't know a lot of these people. They're coming here. They're telling us that we're supposed to embrace them. We're supposed to vote and think like they do. We're supposed to learn Spanish. I know Hispanic people here in town that don't speak Spanish. You know, if you ever saw the film La Bamba, you know, Richie Valens, and he didn't speak Spanish. He grew up kind of in East L.A., I guess it was. And you know, the whole thing of a lot of people trying to identify with that culture. And they're saying, they're actually saying, you know, I don't really like this because, you know, they're coming around, and, you know, my daughter ran off with them, you know, and some of this stuff that's happening here. And I feel bad. And they say, tell my story on the radio. Tell my story on the radio. And these are people who work very hard to be respectable. I mean, it's not been easy for them. You gotta admit that. But these are folks that are, you know, I mean, they have worked jobs long and hard. They have purchased property and improved it. They have really struggled to, you know, to make the American dream their reality. And they're being imposed upon by a lot of this as well. So I'm not...
they also want stability in the society. I mean, anybody who hires Hispanic day labor will tell you, yeah, I use Hispanics, you know, from Guatemalans because they know how to work. You know, these guys work.
Yes, they do. Yeah, they do.
And then it's like the Americans, oh... Well, I don't want to do that, you know. So there is that element of it, too. All of this stuff, yeah.
Well, you know, it's also about businesses that bring people in. And, you know, their horror stories are of people who come up here to try to improve their lives And because they're coming in under the wire, if you like, they end up in some very precarious situations, and it can be very dangerous for them. You know, these aren't necessarily your criminal element, but I'll tell you something there, because let's face it, probably about 75 to 80% of the illegals, quote illegals, are people who are just trying to make a little bit extra money. I have actually worked with people who came up here very, very closely. I worked with people who came up here on a legal basis, on a work visa. I've helped them. I gave them my car to use. You know, we were very close friends. And they did all they could to work. And they went back to Mexico, one particular man that I know of, and he was a missionary to start churches. You know what I mean? He's still a very close friend of mine. So it's like you see a lot of folks that are trying to do it the right way and have honest goals and stuff like that being corrupted by this whole system.
They want to live in a stable society too. I mean, they want the American dream. Right. They want to come over and have a house where they don't have to worry about drive-by shootings and stuff. You know, so whether you're Irish and came over during the potato famine, or you know, came over during the early 20th century from Europe, or coming out, the idea is to find something better. And they're trying to get away from the drug gangs and the war drug wars of the, you know, Mexican narco terrorist state, where they have more billionaires in Mexico than any other country in the world, but the people are struggling, you know, or starving. So they're hoping for, they want to come and live in a stable America, you know, if they're coming here. I don't see them as coming here to subvert the culture, per se, you know.
Most don't. But yeah, there's a criminal element in this. There's also a Marxist element behind all of this, okay? There's something else going on with all of this that
The globalists, it's this Hegelian dialectic. You take the two cultures, you juxtapose them and intermingle them, and you end up with a different animal when they're interbred, you know, once you mix the cultures. But I wanted to shift back to infrastructure for one second, and then I can get off the line. You were talking about Europe. Europe's electrical system stinks. We owe a tremendous debt to Westinghouse and stuff for putting us on 110. 60 cycle AC, but Europe's got, like, you know, 220 on 220, which is much more expensive. It has 3 or 4 different plug standards, and their whole electrical standards and electrical costs in Europe are ridiculously high. One particular problem here in the U.S. is the 60 cycles. The government and the power suppliers were talking about deregulating the frequency of the electricity, which is exceedingly dangerous for our devices. You know, it's bad enough if you have voltage fluctuations, but if they stop enforcing careful monitoring of the 60 cycles, if they start letting the frequency fluctuate, man, that's going to be hell on the devices. It's very hard on them. And our infrastructure is a house of cards. So even though we have all this bandwidth, for the data, our infrastructure for the electrical supply is a house of cards. So what does it do if you've got fiber optic to your house, but you have regional, you know, an EMP attack or a Carrington event from the sun wipes out transformers that can't be replaced for years because your country doesn't make them anymore, and your storms wipe things out. You don't have what you need to keep the infrastructure in place. So, you know, the superstructure is only as good as the foundation on which it sits.
Yes, absolutely. We've talked about the Carrington effect or something like that could wipe it out. But just the amount of techno crap that's out there that's intermingling and tangling itself up within itself is a real problem. I mean, you know, you've heard the old cliche about people not being able to program their VCR. I mean, you know, well, what do you have to do? Just stick the old days of the VCR, you just stick your tape in it and hit play, you know. But how do you program it to record at a certain time? Well, you have to get out the manual and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, we've got so much stuff out there that it's almost like backward technology. You know what I mean? We used to be able to walk over and turn your television set. Now you got to find the remote because there's no button there. You know what I mean?
I have an 85-year-old dad who can't stand even trying to turn the TV on anymore because you got 3 remotes the size of, you know, with small piano keyboards on them just to figure out how to put on the news.
Yeah, it's almost counterproductive. We'll be right back after the break on the Bob Tuscan Show.
With fine